We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Let me encourage you this morning to get your Bible and go to what many would call the absolute most familiar passage in all of the Scripture, the 23rd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. How many of you know this psalm? How many of you have never heard it before in your life? So somebody in here is lying because some hands did not go up. How many of you know Psalm 23? All right. Here's what we're going to do this morning as we find our place in Psalm 23. I want you to read this with me, nice and loud. All right, it's a familiar passage, so let's read it together. Are you guys ready? Say amen. That was not as good as the 8 o'clock, I got to tell you. I'm not sure what's going on out there, all right? If you're there and you're ready to read, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Nice and loud now, ready? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Perhaps the most well-known passage in all of the Scripture, and we are immediately taken in by the first line of the passage when it says, the Lord is what? My shepherd. Now, the Scriptures describe the Lord as being the good shepherd in John chapter 10. The Scriptures describe the Lord as being the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 4. And then the Scriptures describe the Lord as being the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13. So we have this description, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd. But David said something else about the shepherd. He said he is what? Come on now, what's he say? My shepherd. What does that mean? What does it mean to you when you read Psalm 23? You've heard it. This pastor right here quotes it at every funeral I do. Especially if there's a graveside, I will stand next to the family and I will have the people at the graveside recite this with me. But what does this passage mean to you? What does Psalm 23, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd? First of all, understand something. When he says, my shepherd is my shepherd, what he's saying is, he and I are in a current relationship right now. He is my shepherd. When he says the word my, what he's saying is it's personal. I personally know the Lord. You see, the danger is some of you may just know about the Lord, but you don't know him personally. You don't know who he is. It's in that first little statement that we immediately see great importance, and we find the key to unlocking the rest of the psalm and opening up unto us a wealth of truth. And that's why I want you to get this first statement down, and that is this, that there must be a personal and present relationship with the shepherd. There must be a personal and present relationship with the shepherd. It's not enough for you to just know the passage. You need to know the person of the passage. This needs to become very personal to you. This is not just some psalmist writing about taking care of sheep. You and I will never fully understand all that God is as a shepherd to our souls until you and I are in a personal relationship, and that relationship is present. It is happening now. Let me illustrate this for you. How many of you would say that you know more than 10 people? Raise your hand. Some of you need to make some friends. Seriously, you need to get out more. How many would say you know more than 25 people? Okay. How many of you know more than 50? More than 100? Don't pull the whole thing. I go to Faith Baptist Church. There are 700 people. I know 700 people. Don't pull that, okay? Now, here's the thing. Just because you know some people personally, you're known of them and you know them, but is your relationship present? Is it current? Here's what I mean. How many of you are friends with people on Facebook, but you haven't talked to them in years? But they're your friend. And you get pictures and posts you care nothing about. Let me put it to you this way. There are people in my life who I know personally, but I haven't spoken to them in years. If they were to walk through the doors of this church, I would recognize them. They would recognize me. We could have a conversation, but that conversation might have been gapped by distance of weeks, months, or even years. But I still know who they are, and this isn't what the psalmist is talking about. David is saying, I am personal. I am close. Let me put it to you this way, dear friend. The people that I am personal with, the people that I am closest to, I am in a present, current relationship with them. I know what's going on in their life. I know what's going on in their world. They know what's happening to me. There's a relationship that is transpiring there. Let me ask you this. Are you actually in a relationship with the person of this passage, or do you just know the passage? You see, that is the penultimate question that we have to ask ourselves as we get into this text this morning in Psalm 23. Because here's the danger. Here's the danger. It could be considered a false claim for you to call the Lord your shepherd if you are far from him, fail to recognize his voice, and respond to his words. That's a false claim. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's see what Jesus said. How many of you know it's always good to see what Jesus said? John chapter 10, verse 27. I want you to look at this on the screen. Jesus uses the personal word there. He says, my sheep hear what? My voice. Notice this. And I what? And I know them. So you'll understand as you look at the text, there's a personal developed relationship that is happening here. My sheep, they're hearing my voice, and I know them. This is a back and forth relationship. But how does Jesus actually know, and how do you actually know that you know the Lord? Notice this next phrase, and they do something nice and loud. What is it? They what? They follow me. See, if you want to really know who your shepherd is, look who you follow. If you really want to know who your shepherd is, look who you're following. Who has your ear? Who has your heart? Who are you listening to? Who are you actually following? This is the question. And if you don't have this down, the rest of Psalm 23 doesn't have the rich meaning and doesn't impact your life. You see, I've discovered this about being a pastor. A lot of church people claim to know God, but a lot of church people don't really know God. Oh, they can sing the songs, they can come to church, they can churchify anything they need to. But when you begin to watch their life, what you begin to see is they know about God, but they're not actually following him. And that's the danger. That's been the burden of my heart this morning as I put this sermon together, was that we could actually sit in church and talk about the 23rd Psalm and sing songs about he's going to lead me and all the way, and we could sing all these songs, but some of you could sit in here and still not know the shepherd of Psalm 23. Do you have many funerals I've done? Do you have many people I've spoken to who know the 23rd Psalm, but they know nothing of the Savior of the 23rd Psalm? You see, a lot of people know the scripture passage, but few know the Savior of the passage. And until you know him personally, until you come into contact with him, and until he becomes, as David said, your shepherd or my shepherd, all this is just words on a page that sounds really nice and gives you a little bit of comfort, but it does nothing to really change your life. And so as we get into this text this morning, the Lord is what? My shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. And I pray he is this morning. Now, as you look at the 23rd Psalm, and as I knew we were coming here, here's the thing. There's no possible way that I could do justice to this text, these six verses, in the time that is allotted for us, unless you guys wanted to stay here for a couple of days, okay? And I'm just telling you now, I'm not feeling that right now, all right? So, here's what I've done. Several years ago, I wrote an extensive sermon series that I preached to our church here on the 23rd Psalm. We worked through every single phrase, every single verse, line upon line, word upon word. We went through this entire text. And what came out of this was 10 principles. Now, because I love you guys and I want you to get the best out of this, I'm going to actually give you all 10 principles in rapid succession, okay? All 10 of them are going to come onto the screen. Some of you are going to try and write all 10 down. Good luck, okay? But I want them to come onto the screen. If you can't get them all down, email the church office this week. We will email them to you so you can have them. These 10 principles are the 10 principles that I preached from Psalm 23. These are the 10 principles that sort of encapsulate this entire passage. So if you want the 10 principles, say amen. All right, here we go. Number one, the principle of relationship. Okay, and this is where we're starting out this morning. The principle of relationship. And this whole psalm is built on this, the relationship. Principle number two, the principle of rest. We're actually going to touch on that this morning, the principle of rest. Number three, the principle of restoration. Now, there's a difference in rest and restoration, but I don't have time to talk about that. All right, so number four, the principle of reflection. The principle of reflection, and I don't just mean looking in the mirror, okay? I mean reflecting on your life and what that means, and we talked about that. Number five, the principle of God's presence. How many of you understand what I mean when I say the principle of God's presence, okay? Having the presence of God in your life and the importance of that. The principle of God's protection. Principle of God's protection. Number seven, the principle of God's preparation. God preparing you, working in you. Number eight, the principle of God's power. The principle of God's power. By the way, if you want to know how much power is actually available to you, you should come join us on Wednesday night as we work our way through the book of Ephesians, as we talk about the resurrection power that is within us, okay? The principle of God's power. Number nine, the principle of God's provision. How God provides for us. Some of you are thankful for God's provision. Everybody take a deep breath. Now let it out, and now you can say, thank you, Lord. Okay, he provided that for you, okay? And when we talk about God's provision, so often we think about money and stuff and things. How about just the fact that you're here, you're breathing, and God's good, amen? Okay, God's provision. And then number 10, the principle, and I love this one, the principle of our final dwelling place. The principle of our final dwelling place. So these are the 10 principles that we find in Psalm 23. And in understanding God's name as shepherd, our shepherd, what that means, there's an important aspect that we've got to come to grips with. And if we don't come to grips with this, then the rest of this passage is going to be very difficult for us to comprehend how we relate to God on this. Now, as important as it is to understand the Lord is our shepherd, we need to understand that. As important as that is, we also need to come to terms. Everybody put your spiritual seatbelt on, okay? This might be a little tough for some of us to swallow this morning. I know it's early, okay? Some of you don't have the Spirit working in you just yet. I can tell, all right? This might be tough for some of you. We also have to come to terms with the fact that we are like sheep. I got no amen. I got no acknowledgement of what I said is the truth. Let me try it again. We have to acknowledge and come to terms with the fact that we are like sheep. Amen. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't like that. Sorry, I don't write this. Now, nobody in here wants to be compared to an animal. I get that. But if we do have to be compared to an animal, some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I don't really want to be compared to a sheep, you know. I feel more like, I feel like I'm a lion. That's me. That's how some of you think about yourself. You're like, yeah, that's me. The king of the jungle. Some of you are like, nah, I'm more like a tiger. That's me. I'm a little more beautiful. Some of you... You don't have those thoughts. Here's where your thoughts run. You're more like a stallion. You're thinking, that's me. I'm this majestic stallion, you know, black beauty. That's me. Some of you are in a different world. And this is what you think of yourself. You think you're a dragon. I know. Some of you are like, oh, that's so awesome. You know who you are. Don't raise your hands, right?
They're like, please leave that picture up there.
Okay. And there are a few of you in this room. This next picture, this is you, right here.
Like, I'm a unicorn. That's me, Pastor.
Let me bring up the picture that really sums all of us up, okay? Here's who we are. That's us. Don't sit there and go, bah. Hey. You and I are sheep. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a sheep. Turn to your other neighbor. Tell him too. Tell her too. Okay? You're a sheep. You're like, can we be lions? No. Cannot. This is the problem with men and mankind. We don't want to identify with the things that God tells us to identify with. We don't even want to do it when it comes to our gender. We don't. God said there's two genders, male, female. Amen. We want to create this third one or fourth one that doesn't exist. If God would have made a third gender, we would have wanted a fourth one. Man's never satisfied with what God has laid down. That's our sinful nature. And some of you are obstinate this morning and you're saying, I am not a sheep. I am not a sheep. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. The best thing you and I can do this morning is submit to the scriptures' comparison to us as sheep. Why? Because if we don't, we fail to embrace the joy and the delight of being cared for by the good shepherd. You see, the shepherd does not herd lions. The shepherd does not herd horses or any other kind of beast. Now, some might say, well, he does goats. I don't think anybody in here wants to be a goat. Some of you are well on your way to that, okay? But nobody wants to be a goat. In fact, they're not called goat shepherds. They're called goat herders. And sometimes goats get in with the sheep, and we're going to see in a few minutes what happens when that happens. And so the first thing we have to understand when it talks about the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm of the Lord is our shepherd, number one is we have to understand our relationship to the shepherd. And that's why I've just spent a great amount of time unpacking that we are sheep. We are like sheep. Now, you're not a sheep, but there are characteristic traits that you give off like a sheep. So let's be very clear in case we're still not clear. I want to be very clear. If God is our shepherd, then that makes us sheep. Some of you still don't want to say it. That's okay, because here's what we understand about sheep. A couple of quick things here. Note this, sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Okay, let's clear the air. Ever done a dumb thing? Hands up. Ever done a dumb thing? Hands up. Ever done a dumb thing? Hands up. Okay, so you get it. I don't have to unpack this at all, okay? If you've done a dumb thing, you get it. You get that you're like a sheep. I don't need to elaborate. Sheep are the most untrainable, obstinate, stubborn beasts. They cannot lead themselves. They will often walk around in circles for hours. Others will join in. What do you mean, walk in circles? Oh, I'll join you. And they'll just walk in circles. Follow the crowd. Some sheep will go right off the cliff because one other sheep decided, oh, that looks curious. Hey, that's Barney down there. I'm going to join Barney. And off they go. This is hilarious, but it's the truth. Sheep are ignorant. And if a sheep is not led, they walk aimlessly and they end up in trouble. And this is the story of some of your lives. You have wandered aimlessly. And you have ended up in places of trouble. You have gone off a cliff. You have found yourself in a bad place. Why? Because you weren't led by the shepherd. Here's another thing about sheep. They're defenseless. They're defenseless. They're totally defenseless. Some of you are in here this morning, like, oh, well, I got a gun. You do not have enough bullets or a weapon built well enough to protect you the way the good shepherd can. Let me explain something to you. Your biggest battles in life will not be won with any man-made weapon. When a sheep is away from the shepherd, he is defenseless. He is at the mercy of his predators. He has no natural defenses, none. Defenseless. Sheep are also dirty. Now, I get it. We're all here this morning. How many of you cleaned up before you came to church? How many of you were sitting beside someone that cleaned up? How many of you are glad that person cleaned up? Into soap, into deo, brush your teeth, comb your hair, took a shower. Hope you did all those things, okay? We're all clean people here. We're what we would call nice church-going folk. Did you guys know that a sheep, because of their shape and size and the way they're made, they cannot clean themselves? How many of you have a dog or a cat? How many of you know they can? How many of you know it can be awkward? Okay? Sheep can't do that. In fact, because of the way a sheep is, they're susceptible to parasites, both internal and external. They get infections. Their wool can get so weighed down with dirt and grime that the shepherd must come and must anoint them and must cleanse them and must meticulously go through their wool and must make sure that they are cared for, because there are things in the sheep's skin and in the wool that they cannot get access to that only the shepherd can see. And the comparison in this, without getting too deep and using up too much time on this subpoint, is this: that there are things in your life that even you don't see that only the shepherd sees, and you need him to point that out to you. There is dirt in places in your life that only the shepherd can get at. And then lastly, sheep are dependent. Sheep need a shepherd to lead them. Without this, there's no food. See, when you got up this morning, there was a few things on your mind. One was, why did we change? Then you quickly moved to coffee. Right? Do we have any non-coffee drinkers? Let's pray for these dear folk at this time. Okay. Food and water were on your mind. When a sheep, listen, a sheep looks to the shepherd, because the sheep realizes, if I'm not led somewhere to eat, I won't eat. I'll wander. I will live a scared life. I will run aimlessly, and eventually I will starve to death, or I will get slaughtered by a predator. I am so dependent upon the shepherd. This is what we were singing. Did you hear the song? Lord, I need you every hour. I need you. That's the cry of a sheep. Lord, I need you. And so there's two groups of people in here. There are those who are agreeing inside, and you're saying, oh yeah, that's so me. I am so much a sheep. I get it. I am that way, and even worse. So amen. I get it. Some of you are here, and you're like, yes, that is me. I am such a sheep. And there are others who are sitting there saying, well, I'm not that bad. I mean, you know, I've done some dumb things, but that doesn't mean I'm dumb. I actually have a degree. I'm actually pretty smart. I make good money. I don't like that you said that I was dumb. I can defend myself. I'm in good shape. I have a weapon. I'm smart. I know how to protect myself. I protect my family. It's godly, isn't it, to protect your family? I can do that. I'm not that dirty. I've done some bad things, but, you know, I'm really not as awful as I could be, so I don't appreciate it. And by the way, I'm actually a pretty independent person. I really don't need to lean on Jesus the way you guys make it out, like I'm some kind of pathetic, helpless person. Okay, fine. If you want to go with that, maybe you're not a sheep. Maybe you're what the Bible calls a goat. Yeah, and that, maybe that's what you are, because you're either goat or sheep. You're not a lion or a stein, or you're none of those. And in Matthew 25, there's a picture of the great judgment. And the Bible says that all the nations and all the people and everyone gathers, and he begins to separate the sheep. Anybody know? From the goats. He puts the sheep on his right hand, he puts the goats on his left. As he gets through with the separation process, he basically tells the sheep, he says, I have something that's prepared for you. It's been prepared from the foundation of the world. We've been learning all about this on Wednesday nights. You got to come. You can hear all about what God has in store for you, the riches. He proceeds to tell them, I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked. You clothed me. I was in prison. He goes down this whole list of things. He said, here's how I know you were one of my sheep, because you acted like one of my sheep. Because you did everything that was indicative of being in my fold. But then he turns to the goats and he says, you know, you guys were different. See, sometimes in cultures that are raising sheep, goats get in amongst the sheep. Here's a sign of a goat. They're very disruptive. They seek to break the unity. They seek to cause division. They are aggressive. They knock heads. They don't listen. They're obstinate. And so Jesus separates them, and he tells the goats, he says, you know, you didn't do all of the things that my sheep did. And he said, well, when did we not do those things? And Jesus says, well, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. What he's talking about. And then he says to me, I think, the most devastating words ever in the scripture when he says, depart from me. See, it wasn't what the goats did in the fact that in the sin aspect. It's what they did not do. See, we get caught up with the sinful issues on the aspect of I sinned, I did this, I did this, I did this. Well, by the way, those sins, those things, Christ died for those sins. Amen? What you find rather frightening and rather eye-opening as you study the scriptures is God often talks about the things we're not doing. See, religion is telling you all of the things that you can't do, but what are you supposed to do? What identifies us as believers is not all the things we don't do, but the things that we do do. And here in the text, he says, you guys didn't do any of those things. It wasn't even in your nature to care for people. It wasn't in your nature to do good. It wasn't in your nature. You didn't do those things because you're not a sheep. You're a goat, and so depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You're going to a place I didn't even intend for you to go, but you've chosen this. And verse 46 of Matthew 25 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Here's the point. You want to be a sheep. You don't want to be a goat. Why? Because God does not shepherd goats. He separates them. God does not shepherd goats. He separates them. The sheep are saved. They are secure. They are cared for all of eternity. The goats are cast out and cut off and condemned. And the only way to avoid this is to come to the shepherd, the one who laid his life down for you. Jesus said these words in John 10, 7 through 11, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, please understand something. What is happening here is a pictorial illustration, because many times the shepherd would lay down at the entrance to the sheepfold, and when it was dark or dusk, the sheep can't see very well. And so the shepherd would lay down at the sheepfold, one, to keep out the predators, and number two, when the sheep couldn't see the shepherd anymore, they could hear the sound of his voice. And as they would come in, they would literally jump over the shepherd, and he would count them as they came in. That's where the term counting sheep came from. And so when the shepherd says, they hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, they come to me, they come inside the fold, and they're safe. Notice he goes on to say, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it. How? Say it, church. Say it more abundantly. I am. Do you guys see this in the text? So beautiful. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd does something. He does what? He gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. My whole life changed in my pastoral ministry when I read a book entitled The Shepherd as Pastor. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. If you haven't come in to the fold to get to God the Father, you need to do that this morning. Don't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You need to come through the only way to God, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ, because he is the good shepherd. Knowing the passage isn't enough. You need to know the person. You need to hear his voice and run to him. And that's why we understand this is our relationship to our shepherd. But secondly, I want us to understand something. The shepherd takes responsibility for his sheep. The shepherd takes responsibility for his sheep. How many of you know that God cares about you and is concerned for you? Now, he cares for all of his creation, but he takes special interest and pays close attention to those who are his children, those who are in the fold, those who belong to him. And as God's people, we are considered the sheep of his pasture. Aren't you glad to know that this morning, dear friend? And as such, we are under constant care and provision of the Good Shepherd. But here's the point. David says back in Psalm 23, and let me paraphrase it and just give you this little statement. We can place the care of our soul to our shepherd and rest in his promises. How many of you know there's some amazing promises in the Word of God for you? Okay? There's some amazing passages in the Scripture. You can trust your soul to him. You can trust your daily needs to him. My wife, in the inside of her Bible, she has this wonderful thing that is penned, and I said, honey, I need that this week. I need to share that with the church, and here's what it says. Listen carefully. It is not hard to trust the management of the universe to the Lord. Nobody woke up this morning and thought, is the world going to keep spinning? Okay? Nobody woke up this morning, is the stars? No. Nobody worried about that this morning. It's not hard to trust the management of the universe to the Lord. So, can your case be so much more complex and difficult that you need to be anxious or troubled about his management of you? How many of you know God knows what he's doing in your life? The little statement goes on to say this: take your stand on the power and the trustworthiness of your God and see how quickly all difficulties will vanish before a steadfast determination to believe. Now, David said something in the text. He said, God gave him rest and restoration. Now, what I'm about to say, some of you need to listen. If you haven't heard much this morning, I want you to hear this. There will be seasons in your life when God will make you lie down. There's going to be seasons in your life when God will make you lie down. How many of you have ever been around a toddler when it's nap time? And they're tired? And they're cranky? It's only funny to people who don't have toddlers anymore. People with toddlers are like, that ain't funny, Pastor. There's no humor in that, okay? That toddler will fight and resist. Isn't it funny when you're young, you don't want to take a nap. When you get older, you can't wait. You're like, is it nap time yet? What are we doing? We're taking a nap. Are we taking a nap? Right? When you're young, that's the last thing you want to do. And the older you get, the more naps you want. I've told you my favorite phrase, right? Once a man, twice a child. Once a man, twice a child. Here's the point. As sheep, we often will not rest. We will not relax. And we need restored often. So here's what happens. Our shepherd makes us lie down. Notice the text. He maketh me. Why? Because there are seasons in our life when we don't want to. Notice he says he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, here's the scary thing about this text. It doesn't say how he makes us lie down. For some of us, we make life difficult because we simply refuse to lie down and rest in him. Have you ever considered that maybe God has not changed things up for you, or that your situation is staying as is because you will not relinquish your rebellion, your self-sufficiency, and you refuse to lie down? Like a cranky toddler, you will not rest. You think it's a trophy that you are on the go all the time. You think you should get a badge because you're on the go, 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 go. I worry that our parents today are teaching our children that we should just live such a busy, 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 busy life. But we're not blessed. We're running on burnout. We're working and working and working and educating and getting more stress and more strife and on the go. Some of you can't even put your phone down for 5 minutes. You've checked Facebook and messages while I've been preaching. You've been on the email. You've been on the internet. You're tethered to that thing. It's called an idol. These things that were meant to make our life better has made our life worse. This generation that's coming up doesn't even know how to hardly have an articulate conversation. It's frightening what is happening. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you cared for your soul? When was the last time you said, you know what, I need to come away. I need to rest. Here's the acid test. Is there joy in your life? Are you a joyful person? I can't answer that for you. Here's what you should do. Find the five closest people in your life and ask them that question. Do you think I'm joyful? Sit down before they give you the answer. Would you say this about yourself like Jesus? I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Would you say, man, I'm living an abundant life right now? Most of you probably cannot say that. God, over the last couple years, has rebuked me sorely and severely and is continuing to work in my heart over this very principle about being too busy. It wasn't long ago I was having a conversation with someone in our church, and they said to me, Pastor, they were talking about something. They said, I know you're so busy. And I didn't hear anything else they said after that. All I heard was, I know you're so busy. And I realized at that moment, that is the vibe I'm giving off. That's what they think of their pastor, that he's so busy, so busy, so busy, so busy. And the truth is, I am. And the truth is, it's not healthy to stay that way. And some of you are that way. You're so busy. And so you know what God says? Okay, it's time for you to rest. And look, I don't want to. Too bad, you're going down. How many of you know that conversation with the toddler? I used to tell my boys, there's two ways you can take a nap. You can go in your bed and lay down, or you can get a whooping and go in and lay down. I know which one I'd pick. And some of you, you're trying to force things to happen. You're creating drama. You're creating busyness. You're creating it. See, here's the truth. There is restorative joy in resting in the pastures of God's grace. There's restorative joy. Did you notice it says he leads me and he lets me drink in verse 2 from still waters? Did you guys know that sheep don't drink from running water? That's why the shepherd has to go before and hone out where the water is running and create a pathway for the water to go so that it is still so that the sheep will come and drink. It's no wonder some of us are so spiritually dry. You're trying to catch a quick drink on the run. You're like, I'm busy. I got kids. Be careful how you use your children as an excuse why you can't be close to the Lord. That's a dangerous thing. Some of us are trying to catch a quick drink on the run. Sheep don't do that. You won't take in the nutrients that your body needs, your spiritual body needs. And here's what happens to you. You're going to end up into a position that shepherds call casting. This is what it looks like. This is an actual sheep in the cast position. What happens is the sheep get tired, weary, hungry, scared, and they flip over on their back. Now, you see the other sheep standing there looking at them? A couple things. Number one, there's no shepherd. So here's what you realize. That sheep can do nothing for that other sheep. He's just basically like, dude. Now, here's the truth. I've studied this. You can look this up if you want. But just that other sheep staring, if he's not careful, he'll be in the same position. Because what happens is he starts feeding off the fear of that same sheep, and he'll flip over too. That's why if the shepherd doesn't get there quickly, bad things happen. And when the shepherd comes, most sheep fight and resist the shepherd coming to them because the sheep are afraid. They're scared. They think the shepherd's going to do something to them that they don't like. Doesn't that sound just like us? Some of you are afraid to pray to God to say, Lord, I need to surrender to your will because you're afraid God's going to do something you won't like. And when the shepherd does come, he's very gentle and he's very patient and he's very kind. He can't just flip the sheep over, because if he does, he can invert his stomach. His intestines could get twisted. Sheep are finicky. Do you guys know any finicky people? He begins to anoint the sheep with oil. He gently whispers to the sheep, turns the sheep over. Sometimes I have a figurine in my office. It's one of my favorite things I have. It's the picture of a shepherd with a sheep on his shoulders. I love that. Depicts shepherding, depicts pastoring. And he's got this sheep on his shoulders. And sometimes the shepherd will just say, you know what, I'll carry you for a little while. I'll bring you close, like we were singing about. And I'll lead you to where you need to go. You see, a sheep will end up in a cast position because they've gone off the path that the shepherd had them on. And that's why God always desires that we leave our paths and follow him to new pastures. Now, the beauty of the text comes out when it says that he does all of these things for his name's sake, and that whatever God is doing, however the shepherd is leading and guiding, it is for his glory. And in the end, the shepherd is bringing you to a place that is best for you and glorifies him. Now, as the passage comes to an end, let's look at this quickly before we close. How many of you see there it says, though I walk through the valley. You know what a valley is? A valley is between two mountains. You see, the shepherd can only take the sheep to the mountain for a little while. Can't stay up there. Soon he has to descend. And it'll get dark and it'll get shadowy. The sheep can't see. And that's why David said, yea, though I walk. Notice this, through the valley of the shadow of death. Please listen carefully, dear friends. The only way out of the valley is to keep walking through it. Some of you have gotten in the valley and you stayed there. The shadows overtook you. It got dark. It got scary. It got frightening. You got cast. David said, I'm walking through this place because I'm following my shepherd to a better place. And so I can tell you this morning. Always remember, fix your eyes on the Savior, not on the shadows. Now, you'll be tempted to pack your stuff up, but just hold on a minute. Because in the end, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Do you guys see that in your Bible? Surely. You know what that means? That's a promise. That's a promise from God. Surely goodness and mercy. Now, many believe a couple of different things about that last little phrase, but here's what we know. First of all, we know that it was at a time in David's life, more than likely, when he wasn't able to get into the house of the Lord the way he wanted. He was a fugitive. He was on the run. And so his time with the Lord in the house of the Lord was greatly inhibited. But I want you to see the longing in his heart was to dwell where? With the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to dwell with the Lord in the presence of the Lord. For how long, church? Here's the great news. This passage should give you new perspective about a place unlike anything you and I have ever experienced. The eternal, bright presence of God. So here's the question this morning. Do you know the psalm? Or do you know the shepherd? Do you know the psalm? Or do you know the shepherd?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.